But look, I have other needs. So if you want to make a trade for six, I can make that happen right now.
You want six? Who are you taking?
I can't tell you that, Jeff.
The question is, do you want to make a trade? Because if you're not sold on Callahan, you can still come out of here with a handful of draft picks. You look like a seasoned pro.
And everybody wonders what you're up to next year.
I don't know. I don't know, Sonny.
Look, Jeff, every year someone comes out of this looking like a donkey.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Good, because tomorrow I got a feeling it could be you if you don't make this deal.
Bears fans, this is Bears Barroom Radio. I am Aldo Gandia, and that was a scene from the 2014 movie Draft Day with Kevin Costner playing the Cleveland Browns general manager trying to make a trade with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, on today's show, I will play Bears GM Ryan Pace, and Jeff Risden, the renowned football writer and podcast host, will play the Browns general manager, and will try to work out a Draft Day deal. Then later, Matthias Wadner, sports writer at TitanSized.com, will play the Titans GM, and we'll see if we can work out a deal. The inspiration for this idea was a series running on BearsBarroom.com on possible draft day trades. The first post looked into the Browns' needs and wants, and I proposed three potential trades. We'll see how Jeff reacts to those offers. And then, our second post did the same thing with the Titans organization, and we'll see how Matthias reacts to the proposals. Fair warning, faithful listeners, when it comes to acting, Kevin Costner is much better at it than I am. But what's important here, Bears fans, is let's hope that after this year's draft, Ryan Pace doesn't come out looking like a donkey. Let's get started. Jeff Risden, second time on the show, and this time we're asking you to do multiple personalities. Play yourself as the managing editor of BrownsWire.com and the co-host of the Reddit NFL podcast. Welcome, Jeff.
I will try to keep my personalities as distinctly separate as I can. Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
You bet. Hey, I just finished listening to a good portion of the new Reddit NFL podcast, episode number 5, and I am excited about it and about this venture for you and your co-host Chris. What is Chris's last name?
He doesn't reveal that publicly. That's part of the mystery.
I didn't know that. Okay.
We'll get it out of him at a later date. That's sort of going to be a running gag as we go on. But yeah, it's fun. It's going great. We're 5 episodes in. We're getting a really good audience. We have a lot of fun with it. It's wide ranging, all over all sorts of NFL topics. It sort of shows our range. We focus a little bit on the draft this week, but it's a whole lot of fun to do. It really is.
Well, yeah, it was almost 2 hours long, and it's not an intimidating 2 hours because it's breezy. You guys go through multiple topics with great insight. One of the things you talk about is draft mapping. Can you kind of clue into our audience here what it was you shared about draft mapping?
Yeah, what that is it's what NFL teams do and what agents also do when they're trying to figure out where the players are going to go, and not necessarily the players that they're interested in, but it's like, let's find the highest place this player can go and the lowest place this player can go. The easy example is Myles Garrett. He's going number one. If he doesn't go number one, he's going number two. It's that sort of thing. To use a different one, we didn't actually talk about this one, but it was in our notes. Mitchell Trubisky. He could theoretically go number one, but his realistic draft ceiling is number two overall to San Francisco or somebody trading there. His draft floor, and this is how the NFL teams map it out as well, when they're trying to figure out, you know, who's going to be available when they pick. His draft floor is number 10, be it Buffalo or somebody else trading into Buffalo. He's going to be a top 10 pick. That's sort of the thing that we do. And NFL teams do this with all the prospects that they're interested in. They try to figure out, you know, running. It's their way of creating more accurate mock drafts. It's something that I do as someone who creates a lot of mock drafts to make sure that I'm getting the players in the right zone. Whether I get the team right or not, it's not as important as it is finding what approximate range the players are going in. That's draft mapping for me. It's something that I learned from an agent a long time ago. And it's been very useful for me in getting not necessarily like the team with the player in mock drafts, but in finding the player and what range they're going to go. And that's it's a little bit of a trade-off, and it can be hard for readers of mock drafts to digest that sometimes. That, like, oh, you're not doing this for my team? Well, no, I'm kind of doing it for the players. it's backwards in a way, but it winds up being more effective.
Well, I encourage our listeners to go over to go to the Twitter page at Reddit NFL Pod, and you can find the show there. And I got to tell you also, speaking of mocks, you did a personal mock for one of the websites that you write at. I believe it's Real GM.
Yeah, Real GM.
And this mock was just fun to look through because this is what you would do if you were the general manager of all 32 teams. And one of the guys that you are really high on and you had very high up on your mock is quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Now, what do you foresee Mahomes' ceiling and floor looking like on your draft map?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be nearly as high as where I put him. I put him at number two. I think his ceiling is number 12 where the Browns are picking.
Okay.
He could go 12, but I think it's more realistic that he winds up in the later part of the first round. Houston at 25 is certainly an option, but I think 32, where New Orleans currently sits, would be his floor. He's going in the first round, and one of the reasons why I'm very confident in that is he's a developmental player, and you want that guaranteed fifth year to get more out of the development. And in the first round, you get that option. You don't get that in the second round. So if a team is interested in Patrick Mahomes, even if it's New Orleans sitting at 32 as the eventual successor to Drew Brees, which makes a lot of sense to me, I think that's his draft floor.
Now, in a couple minutes here, I'm going to ask you to play Sashi Brown, the executive vice president of football operations for the Browns. But so I'm going to ask for some insider information before we do our little role playing here. What's going on over at Cleveland? You were hearing so many stories. Now, Myles Garrett may not be the first pick. Mitchell Trubisky could be. What the heck is going on over there? And is it chaos over there, or is this or is the media reports kind of blowing things out of proportion?
I think the media would love it to be more chaotic than it actually is. This is fairly normal things when a team has the number one pick and they have a guy identified as the number one pick, and it's Myles Garrett. It's smart for them to question this, and it's smart for somebody to stand up in the room and say, hey, what are we doing here? Are we really 100% sold that this is the guy we need? Especially for a team like Cleveland, which has struggled at the quarterback position forever. They have to do something there. And Mitchell Trubisky, he's a local kid. He's a Cleveland native. He said he wants to play for the Browns. That's appealing to the fans, certainly. They're going to take Myles Garrett, but I think it's smart that they're at least considering a different option. Now, one of the problems is that there's a whole lot of decision makers in Cleveland, aside from Sashi Brown. There's Paul D. Podesta, Mr. Moneyball. He's Jonah Hill from the movie Moneyball. He's running the Browns, sort of. They have Andrew Berry sort of there as a personnel director. They have Sashi Brown. Hugh Jackson as the head coach has a lot of input. Greg Williams, the new defensive coordinator, has a lot of input in the draft process, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So there's a whole lot of Chiefs there.
Wow.
And there's also, unfortunately, quite a bit of Indians there, not to play a pun on Cleveland or anything, but it's hard to figure out what their organizational decision-making structure is. And I think they're sorting through that as well. And I think that also leads to speculation that we saw the other night when Adam Schefter tweeted out that somebody in the room wants Mitchell Trubisky. I don't doubt that, but I don't think they're going to win that argument.
Now, let's talk for a second about Paul D. Podesta. You described him as the money ball guy. He's the chief strategy officer. And what he's brought to the Cleveland Browns organization is this highly evolved look at how to run a sports operation through analytics. Is that a correct way to put that? And can you give us a little bit more of a picture of what analytics can do for a football operation?
Yeah, and it's fairly new development in football, but it's been used in basketball. The Houston Rockets are a good example of that. Been used in baseball. Obviously, we saw the Cubs win a World Series using analytics. In a football context, it's about finding which numbers have value versus which ones that don't, but also finding, and this is where it initially started in baseball, was finding market inefficiencies, places where you're spending too much and not getting the equivalent amount of return on it, and can't get the equivalent amount of return on it. And I think the Browns are among the forefront of teams who are figuring out which positions hold which value do we pay, we're not going to pay this much for that position when we can get somebody who can provide, you know, 90% of the production of the peak player for so much less. And I think that studying the markets is the biggest thing that they do with that in terms of personnel acquisition. And now there are things on the field. It's like, what plays have the most success when you run on third and three? You know, what personnel packages are we most successful in? And these are things that harken to old school concepts where coaches broke down film. This is providing more numeric context to it. But for off-season purposes, it's all about, okay, is having we'll use O.J. Howard, who's a potential candidate at number 12 as an example. He's a fantastic tight end prospect. I don't think anybody would argue that. But is having him as the top tight end, is he worth that much more at the number 12 pick than it is at, say, taking George Kittle in the third round? And that's the sort of thing that they make the analytical decision on in finding the market value for contributions. And it's complex, and I won't claim to understand all of it, and I disagree with some of the findings that they have, but that's where the NFL is headed.
And how would you grade the first draft that they had under this system in 2016? How many picks did they have last year, and how was that draft for them?
They had, I don't know the exact number, but one of the things that they didn't do well was pick wide receivers. They took four of them, including Corey Coleman in the first round. He got hurt. He'll be better in his second year. But all the other guys were later round prospects, and Rashard Higgins, Ricardo Lewis, and Jordan Payton. None of those guys might make the team this year. Wow. So it might not be the best way to do it. I think they did get value. They got a couple of defensive ends, you know, that I think can play in Carl Nassib and Emmanuel Ogba. I think they both fit what Greg Williams' defense wants, even though they were drafted as 3-4 defenders, and now the Browns are switching to a 4-3. I think they'll be okay there. But they traded out and got a lot of value, and one of the reasons why they did that was so they could get a whole lot of picks in this draft and the next draft. They traded famously. They traded the pick that became Carson Wentz to Philadelphia, and then they traded down again. So their big thing there was scaling back, and this year they have the ammunition. They have number 1, number 12, number 33, number 52, the first pick in the third round. They have three picks in the fourth round. So they're loaded with ammunition if they want to move up and around. They also have two firsts and two seconds next year. So if they want to move up from 33 or 52 or whatever, they have so much flexibility to do that. I think last year's draft was designed with this year's draft in mind. And I think this is the year where they're really tested, and they need to make a splash because they're not as untalented as a lot of people think. And they really did a whole lot with their offensive line, strengthening it in free agency. They have some appreciable running game. They just need a quarterback on offense, and they need a whole lot of things on defense. They're not that far away from being a competitive team on a weekly basis. And I think judging they went 1-15 last year. It'll be very disappointing if they don't win at least six games this year with all the draft picks that they have. Now if they trade out of these picks and put it off till next year, that's probably not going to sit too well. But, and it also shows that maybe they're valuing the picks more than the actual players a little bit too much. So that's where their balance is. That's what a lot of fans in Cleveland are worried about. They're worried, A, that they're going to blow the picks, or B, that they're just never going to spend them and keep going and never get players. So there's a balance that they have to find. It's a very important year for them.
Yes, it is, as it is for the Chicago Bears. So let's find out if we can make a deal here. Jeff Risden is going to play the part of Sashi Brown, and I'm going to play the part of Ryan Pace. And we begin by me, as Ryan Pace, saying, "Hey, John Fox, get Sashi Brown on the phone and bring me some coffee." Sashi Brown, how you doing?
Well, hello. What can we do for you, Mr. Pace?
Well, you know, we're just calling to explore some possibilities. I know how much you guys value Mitchell Trubisky. We've heard all of this information. And so we were wondering if you're concerned that he may not drop to you at number 12. We could send the third pick of the first round to you in exchange for the first round pick that you have at number 12 and your two second rounders, the 33rd and 52nd pick. Is that something that might interest you?
Well, that's an interesting offer, and we do like Mitchell Trubisky a lot, but there's a lot of other quarterbacks in this draft, too, that we can take at 12. You know, we're not necessarily married to Mitch Trubisky. We might want DeShone Kizer. We might want DeShone Watson. There's other options there. So we're not necessarily that desperate to give up Mahomes, and we really like those. Or Patrick Mahomes, another option. You know, we're not that desperate to get Trubisky. You know, we have options. We don't want to give up those picks either. So I think we'll pass on that. Now, maybe if you want to talk about, you know, just giving our extra second round pick and maybe something next year. We do have 2 seconds next year. We might be interested in that, but we might need something in return there too.
Basically, you're saying that you will give us the first round pick number 12, the second round pick number 33, and a 2018 second round pick. Am I correct?
Yeah, but we'll need a little something back. You know, maybe a third round this year. Maybe we can swap second round picks. We have two of those. You know, something to work out. That it's a little too steep for us to go up. When we have other options besides Trubisky. Yeah, we like him, but not that much.
Okay, Sasha, you're going to really play hardball with me. I like that. All right, let's then discuss another possibility. How about if you ship to me first-round pick number 12 and the second-round pick number 52, and then in exchange, I will send you, I know how much you like to pile up draft picks, I will send you next year's first-round pick, the 2017 second round pick at number 36, and both of our fourth round picks, number 111 and number 117. So again, you're getting next year's first round pick from the Bears, which could be a top 10 pick, maybe even top five, the second round pick this year, and 2 fourth rounders in exchange for your first rounder at number 12 and your second rounder at number 52. What do you think?
Well, I gotta ask, who do you want at 12?
Well, our hope is that Patrick Mahomes will slip to number 12.
Interesting. You know what? That you know, we're probably not taking a quarterback at 12, much to our fans' chagrin. So you know that can work. We might just do that. That's a way for us to get more picks, and you know we can move up again. That's a fairly appealing deal. I like that.
Okay. Well, if let me throw one more out here. In exchange for that number 12 pick, if we were to send you the second round pick this year and the second round pick next year, in addition to, we know you need help at cornerback, we send you Kyle Fuller, and we know you're looking for some depth inside, we also send you Eddie Goldman, who is entering his third year with the Bears and is playing really good football. Would you entertain that deal?
You know, I'm not all that interested in Fuller because I don't think he's ever going to play again because he's hurt all the time.
well, that's not quite true. He was hurt last year. He had a little bit of difficulty getting back on the field because his body didn't feel right. But given that he's been resting now and rehabbing for 12 months, he'll be ready to go. He's a good, bright young man.
So I do like Goldman, and he fits. So he looked pretty nice next to Danny Shelton. So that's interesting. Now I'm giving up. Which pick am I giving up again? I'm giving up 12 and 53 or 52.
Correct.
And I'm going to get a player. I'm going to get Goldman's probably ideally my third defensive tackle. I'm getting a corner who can maybe be my number three corner if he's ever healthy. And I'm getting interesting pick there. Yeah, you know what? That's not bad because I do need players, and I'm getting picks and players in return for that. I do like Goldman. I think Chicago fans probably undervalue Eddie Goldman some.
Well,
so yeah, that's
I think that
works for me.
I think there's a lot of Chicago Bears fans who are swearing right now, saying you can't trade Eddie Goldman. But we really have our eyes on that number 12 pick, and we think Patrick Mahomes will be there. So if that pick turns up number 12 and Patrick Mahomes is still available, we could pull the trigger on this deal.
Yeah, give me a call after the Saints pick at number 11.
Sashi, it's great talking to you, and also great talking to Jeff Risden. Always a pleasure talking to you, Jeff, and thank you for playing along with our little gag here. Where can we find you on Twitter?
You can find me at Jeff Risdon, R-I-S-D-O-N. And you can find my work at Real GM, at Texans Wire, at Browns Wire, Red NFL Podcast. I wear a lot of hats these days, so you can find me pretty much everywhere. Thanks again for having me on, Eldo.
You're very welcome, and get some rest sometime in the second week of May.
That sounds good. My wife will appreciate me actually being in bed once.
All right, Jeff, take care. Okay, before we talk trade with the Titans, let me review my notes. Jeff sounded dubious we could work out a deal exchanging our number one picks, our third for his 12th, and also us getting the Browns 2 second rounders. That's too bad, because that would have given us 4 picks between the 12th overall pick and the 52nd. Man, now he did sound ready to pull the trigger in the second deal, where we give up next year's first rounder, our second rounder from this year, and our 2 fourth rounders from this year. In exchange, we'd get the Browns' 12th pick of the first round and the 52nd overall pick in the second round, which means we would drop about, 15 spots in the second round. Now, I think I offered too much and would only pull the trigger on that deal with a provision, and that is if the 2018 first round pick that we're sending to Cleveland, if that's a top 5 pick, let's say, top 7 pick, then we get something in return, like a third rounder. So we could work that out. But that trade is a possibility. I would love to make a deal like that, because then we still have our third overall pick and we can land somebody like a Solomon Thomas, a Malik Hooker, a Jamal Adams, a Marshawn Lattimore, and then come back with the 12th pick and pick up a quarterback like Mahomes or Kaiser. Wow, that would be awesome. Now, that third option where I'm trading Eddie Goldman, I don't think I'm going to do that. I'm not going to trade Eddie Goldman, but I've put that out there, and perhaps if he's really interested, he goes back and talks to his people and they really want Eddie Goldman, maybe they can make us an offer we can't refuse. All right, let's go on and talk to Tennessee. Matthias Wadner, welcome to the Bar Room. How are you, Matthias?
I'm good. You know, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It's always fun to talk football, talk about the draft, so I'm ready to go.
Well, your bio here says you're a sports journalist working in South Florida, and you've been a longtime fan of the Tennessee Titans, and now you work over at TitanSized.com, part of the Fansided Network. Given that you've been a longtime fan of the Titans, you're sort of like a Chicago Bears fan in that you've seen a lot of sad football teams over the years, huh?
Oh, yes, we have. We both have. I became a fan when Steve McNair and Eddie George were still around. They were great back then, and then we went through some horrible, and I mean horrible years, from like 04 to maybe like 07, just terrible. We kept Jeff Fisher around for no apparent reason. Had a good year in 08, went 13-3, but it's just been downhill from there. But now we have a GM who appears to know what he's doing, and Mike Mularkey has been a pretty good coach, at least in his first full year. So, yeah, we're pretty excited about the future with the Titans. I don't know how you feel about the Bears, but they seem to be heading in the right direction.
Well, I'm only going to say nice things about the Bears right now, because I'm going to play Ryan Pace, the general manager, so I don't want to denigrate myself too much. But we've got some problems over here, and so hopefully we'll work out a deal that will help both of our clubs. Now, before we start doing our little role-playing here, tell me how much of the recent success, because we're seeing this Titans team moving forward, how much of that is due to the general manager, John Robinson?
I think it's a huge aspect what he's done so far. I mean, some of it you can say it's him changing the culture and the identity, but I think that has more to do with Mike Mularkey and keeping him in place. But some of the moves that John Robinson has made so far have been huge, and they didn't look like they'd be huge when they first happened. He signed Rishard Matthews and Ben Jones last year. Rishard Matthews almost had 1,000 receiving yards last year. He was easily our best receiver. And Ben Jones was a key aspect on one of the best offensive lines in football. And his draft class last year was incredible in its first season. And they contributed to a bunch of important wins, like the win against the Chiefs. One of our cornerbacks, who was like a fifth or sixth round pick, LaShawn Sims, he had a pick in that game, and Kevin Byard also contributed throughout the entire year. So, yeah, we're hoping he could get another draft class like he did last year or this year.
Okay, if it's at all possible that he can help out the Chicago Bears, let's try to make that happen now. I hear the phone ringing. It's me, Ryan Pace, trying to get a hold of John Robinson. Hello, John.
Ryan, it's great to hear from you. What do you got for me?
Well, John, first of all, let me congratulate you on your success. You guys are doing something wonderful down there. You know, as you probably heard, I was trying to trade for Marcus Mariota before you came on board, but we couldn't work out a deal then. But hopefully we can work out a deal today. Let me ask you first, before we start wheeling and dealing here, what is it that you're hoping to accomplish with trades during this draft period? What are your needs?
Well, you know, we have two first-round picks, which is always a nice luxury to have after trading down last year with the Rams, who they gave us a king's ransom for Jared Goff. That was very interesting, but we'll take it. And we do need a second-round pick, something that we don't have this year. Two first-round picks is nice, but I'm pretty sure I'd like to trade down from number 5 or maybe even number 18 and pick up at least a second-round pick and some more.
Okay, and is there a particular player in the draft that you're targeting in the first round? You've got this this first round pick. Is there a cornerback or a defensive lineman that you really want to get?
You know, it's interesting because with the number 5 pick, there's so much talent available, but there isn't a specific player that just jumps out at you and is like a perfect fit for the Titans. I do think that Corey Davis is probably the most preferential pick in this draft, but his range is about from 5 to 18, it seems, in this draft. So I'm not sure if I would take him at 5. I would personally, but it seems a little high, but at 18 that would be an absolute steal for the Titans.
And I know that you have some needs at the defensive line. Is somebody like Jonathan Allen intriguing to you if he were available at the 3? And I also hear that the Jaguars maybe will select him at 4, so he may be gone before you select. Is that someone you might be interested in trading up to the number 3 slot?
Yeah, Jonathan Allen absolutely fit. He was productive throughout his entire college career. He's a leader. He speaks very well in his interviews. A lot of people on Twitter, especially in Titans Twitter, they don't really like Jonathan Allen, especially at number 5. They're concerned with his shoulders. He does have some chronic issues that could pop up, but it doesn't seem like those will pop up for another 15 to 20 years. And they're also concerned with his athleticism, but they said the same thing about Joey Bosa last year. He didn't test very well athletically, and was he the rookie of the year or runner-up at least? Been a fantastic rookie year, and I see the same for Jonathan Allen. I think he's a supremely talented player, can play the run well, can play the pass rush well, and I think he'd be a perfect tight end.
And John, I hear, you know, there's rumors out in the street, and of course we're hearing tons of rumors, but I hear that Marcus Lattimore might be somebody that interests the Titans because he's a cornerback. First, I hear the rumors about Richard Sherman and a trade. You don't want to trade for that old piece of trash. You would maybe want to go for a guy like Marcus Lattimore, you know, who also might go before you guys choose at 5. Is Lattimore somebody that interests you despite the reputation that he has with these hamstrings?
Yeah, definitely an interesting name for us. Marshawn Lattimore was only a one-year starter at Ohio State, and he does have some hamstring issues, but if you look at his tape, he's an incredibly talented player, and it looks like he will be a shutdown corner at the next level if coached correctly. That's a bit of a risk, but I think that's a risk worth taking, especially when we have such a big need at cornerback. In terms of Richard Sherman, we're not trading for that guy. He's already 29. We don't want to give up too much.
Well, I agree with you there. Richard Sherman is somebody that should just stay in Seattle and keep his mouth shut.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, let's throw around some ideas here. Okay, so let's say you want to pick one of those players and you're concerned maybe about those Jaguars who pick just in front of you. How about, let me start here. How about if we send you our third pick in the first round and our second pick, I mean our second round pitch pick, which is 36 overall, in exchange for your two first rounders this year?
I don't really see the Titans trading up for Marshawn Lattimore, maybe Allen, but I think this would probably only be a possibility if Myles Garrett falls. If he falls past the first two picks, I think John Robinson would get on the phone with the Bears in an instant. It wouldn't seem possible because Myles Garrett is an incredible player and he should go number one overall. But there's been rumors that the Browns might take Trubisky at number one. There's also rumors that Fournette might go top two. So you really never know what's going to happen in these drafts. And if Garrett falls, I could easily see the Titans trading up the Bears in a situation like this.
Well, yeah, remember, stay in character.
Well, talk.
John, I got to tell you that if Myles Garrett falls and he's available at the number three pick, this offer that's on the table actually changes, and I would have to ask you for a second round pick in 2018. Is that something that you'd be interested in?
I think I would still do that, yes. Myles Garrett could be a generational talent at his position.
Okay.
He tests incredibly well. He does have some concerns about his competition against SEC teams, but when in Dick LeBeau's scheme, I think he would be a perennial Pro Bowler.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. Okay, so before we finalize anything here, let me explore another option. How about if we were to give you our first round pick, the third pick in the draft, and in exchange we get your first rounder this year, the number 18 pick, your first rounder next year, and your two third rounders this year?
I'd say I would have to think hard about that one for sure. So I would keep the number five pick, correct?
You would keep the number five pick, correct.
So we would have number three and number five, and you get our first next year and our two-thirds this year.
And, John, I know you're using the same Stuart Chase draft value points evaluator. So as you know, you will get points-wise more points than we get. So this really is an attractive deal for your team.
Yeah, it really would be. Those third-round picks are pretty appealing, especially in a deep draft like this, in a deep cornerback and wide receiver draft class like this. But, number three and number five is a very enticing deal. I still think it would have, that number three pick would have to be Myles Garrett falling. Mm-hmm. I don't think we would do that kind of deal for Jonathan Allen or Marshawn Lattimore.
Okay, so it's contingent on Garrett falling to number three. All right. That's fair enough. Well, and let's look at one other scenario here before we finalize something. How about if we send to you our next year's first round pick and our second and third round pick this year? That's the number 36 overall and the number 67th overall. I know that you've been trying to get a second round pick, John. So in exchange for those three picks, you send me your first round pick, the fifth selection overall. And I got to tell you, John, this is really the deal that I want to make.
I would make this deal as well. First of all, we get our second round pick that we lost in trading up for Jack Conklin. Then we get another third round pick this year, which would give us five picks in the top 100 this year in a really deep draft. We would also get a first-round pick next year, which, I mean, looking at the Bears, it looks like it could be a top-10 pick, unless my Glennon is
what are you trying
savior.
To say? What are you trying to say, John, that we're going to suck next year?
Nah, I just didn't have a big value on Mike Glennon. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, I think this is a deal we would definitely take a really hard look at.
Okay.
Losing that number five pick is it hurts a little bit, but getting a first rounder next year, and then we could always trade up this year using maybe two third round picks and trading up into the first round somehow. I think this is a deal that would benefit us for sure. I think we might have to throw in a third round pick next year.
You're going to send me a third round pick?
No, you guys send it to us.
Okay, John, we'll think that one over and get back to you. I've actually got the Cleveland Browns on the line right now. They're interested in making a deal, so I will get back to you on that. And if you decide that you want to go straight up on this last offer, your first rounder, the number 5 overall pick for our 2018 first rounder, 2017 second rounder, 2017 third rounder, then we've got a deal. All right, John?
Sounds good. Thank you.
Matthias, thank you. That was fun. And why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you on Twitter?
Yeah, so on Twitter, my handle is Matty Wad, M-A-T-I-W-O-D. And if you guys want to follow our website's Twitter account, it's Titan_sized. And you can also find us at TitanSized.com.
And, you know, before I let you go, this guy, John Robinson, he made, what, 5 deals last season? So he's going to be in a trading mood, isn't he?
He's going to be trading throughout the entire draft. We're not going to pick anywhere that we actually think we're going to pick.
Interesting. So if the Bears and Titans do work out a deal, I will be calling you that day so that we can talk further about the deal and compare notes, okay?
For sure. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Matthias. Let me apologize to my guest. I mispronounced his name there at the end. It is Matthias Wadner. And again, he's on Twitter at M-A-T-I-W-O-D. Now, it sounds like the deal he's most interested in is similar to what the Browns wanted, which is that 2018 first-round pick. Now, he also wanted me to sweeten the offer there, but he wanted a third-round pick. But I think that Ryan Pace can convince trader John Robinson to take a fifth rounder instead of a third rounder. But imagine, if the Bears were to swing a deal like that, they would have virtually their choice at quarterback with the 3rd overall pick, and then come back and draft a stud defensive player 2 picks later. Or maybe it's the other way around. But the problem is that they would lose their 2018 first round pick and then wouldn't pick again in this draft until round 4. No second rounder and no third rounder. So, tough call. But the options aren't over. On BearsBarRoom.com, I will introduce some more trade options. The next one will be with the Cincinnati Bengals. And also, we'll have other draft coverage. So stop by BearsBarRoom.com. That's our show. And remember, if you drink, do it responsibly, and always bear down.